thank you, Lord, for this time. As we know, Lord, as we come with our minds and our hearts fully devoted to you, I pray that you will speak life into us. That, Father, as your word comes alive and transforms us, as we let your word sink so deep within our hearts, Lord, I know we're not going to leave you the same person. I know we're becoming more and more like your son, Jesus Christ, as our hearts, our minds, our lives are fully dedicated and devoted to you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank all of you who came out last week to help out with the move of our church here at this new location. And we know, you know, just like anything else, right, we got to adapt to the change. We're going to have to kind of like get used to certain things of how, you know, this building is run and all that. But you know what? We're here as a family, right? We're here to give God glory. And we know as long as we are here with each other in the presence of God, that's what church is all about. Amen? And you know, the move of both our church and office has been long and grueling. I'm going to tell you, you know, with all that lifting and hauling of all these heavy objects and furniture, I can honestly say my body is hurting. And it's tired and it's aching and, you know, especially in the last several days. But I must say, as we all enjoyed our stay at the Waltimo building, we've been there for almost 8 years. Did you know that? Since 2011. But, you know, it's time to start afresh. Amen? And sometimes God will lead us to new places, and we just got to say, Lord, wherever you send me, wherever you want me to go, I'll be there. And, you know, we're here in new territory. You know, we already met a lot of people here. We've seen a lot of new faces and a lot of new hearts, right? We're going to have to touch with the very word of God. And I invited a whole bunch of people already in this building, so hopefully they will come someday. But I got to tell you something. You know, as I was packing my things in my desk, I ran across this sermon that was entitled Sky's the Limit. And it was one of the very first sermons that I had preached at Waltimo in 2011. Yeah, that was about 8 years ago. And as I read through it, I knew that the Holy Spirit was leading me to share some of the key points and scriptures of this sermon. And so I made it into one of my messages for the sermon series called The Ultimate Promises of God. And so today's sermon is entitled God's Guarantee That Sky's the Limit for His Children. So I'm going to tell you why, first of all, you know, that I named this sermon The Sky's the Limit. But the fact is, I remember as a child, my dad often rewarded both my brother and I with good things whenever we were at our best behavior and when we didn't stress out our mom, you know, with all the fighting and bickering. But, you know, one day in my freshman year in high school, I brought home my report card and I got straight A's. And that never happened. Actually, I always did average. I had a lot of B's and C's. But in high school, I started to study more and I brought home a report card with straight A's. And my dad was so happy and proud of me. And, you know, my brother, he also got straight A's. And this is a common thing for him. He always brought home straight A's, but I never did. But he told the both of us, he says, tonight, boys, after dinner, we're going to Dairy Queen. And we're like, wow, okay. And he said this. After he said that, he said, and sky's the limit. That's what he said. He said, go for it, right? That's what he means. Basically meant you're free to order anything you would like and as much as you would like. And as a little kid, right, we're like, oh, yeah, you know, let's go, you know. And so I just didn't order my favorite that night, which was the banana split. No, I decided to order the banana split royale. And it was like four scoops of ice cream, right? Two whole bananas, two now, whole bananas cut in half with extra whipped cream and extra sweet gooey syrups. And, you know, I remember the four flavors. It was chocolate fudge, butterscotch, strawberry, and pineapple. And I remember, to top that off, there were several maraschino cherries. You know those cherries they put on the sundaes, right? All in this huge mammoth dessert. And since the sky was the limit, I also ordered a large french fries to add to my delightful experience. And so I remember when I looked at my dad, you know, he didn't order as much as my brother and I did, but you could tell he was just happy, just watching us enjoy all that was in front of us. And I guess you could say it is the same with our Father God, who has this same kind of sky's the limit attitude towards his children who are on their very best behavior. Because let me ask you, do you think God loves to bless his children? Oh, yeah. And who are his children, by the way? We are, right? And so here's the question. What does God guarantee as sky's the limit to his children? Well, I want you to look at number one here. It says, unlimited possibilities and solutions to our problems and difficulties. And you probably heard of this missionary. You know, his name is Hudson Taylor, and he was a British missionary to the people of China. And he was quoted in saying this. He says, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Let me say that again. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And so we can say, oh yeah, this is the work of the Lord. I'm doing this for God. But remember, we got to do it his way the whole time. Because we can say this is the work of the Lord, but we say, okay, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to do my way now. And I know God kind of wants me to do it this way, but I want to do it my way. Well, guess what? You're probably going to get to a point you're going to be lacking certain things in what God has called you to do, because you know what? It has to be done God's way in order for it to be blessed. And you'll never lack God's supply if you keep doing it his way. And you know, the Israelites, they faced many obstacles while they were on journey to the promised land. And you know, so many of them started to complain. Some of them kind of felt like, you know, they wanted more, you know, from what they were experiencing during this journey. So one obstacle was the Jordan River. So they came to that point where they realized, hey, this Jordan River, it's a long stretch, you know, we've got to go from here to there. How are we going to do it? And we got to carry the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and how are we going to do this? And you know, a lot of them started to scratch their head, a lot of them started to wonder, hey, did God really bring us out here, you know, to face all these kinds of obstacles? Because isn't it supposed to be smooth sailing when God leads us to what is called the promised land? A lot of times, that's what we think as Christians. No, we're supposed to have everything smooth sailing. If it's God's leading, we're not supposed to have any obstacles. We're not supposed to have any problems or difficulties. Let me tell you, that ain't true. The whole thing about this Christian walk with the Lord, yes, you know, it could be God's leading, what he's telling you to do, where he's telling you to go, but the fact is you still may face obstacles. And you know what? It's okay. As long as God is with you. Amen? And so, I want you to look what it says here in Joshua chapter 3, 11 to 13. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet, what does it say there? Touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. Can you imagine? And what does this remind you of? The Red Sea, right? The parting of the Red Sea. But this is a river. It's not as grandeur as the Red Sea. Imagine, they already went through that. This is something that shouldn't be such a big deal. But I want you to understand, it is significant that their feet, it says there, their feet, what happened? Had to touch the water. Because it showed that they had to move in faith to receive their miracle. Their feet had to go in the water. Because they could have said, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. You think God's going to come through again? Their feet had to come to the point and touch the water. And then what happened? The miracle took place. And I'm going to just tell you, too many times, as Christians, we may allow our fears and doubts to slow us down or even freeze us up in fear, so much so that God's plan for our lives cannot be accomplished. Too many times I will hear a brother or sister say, I don't know if God can really, you know, work it through for me this time. Maybe he did in the past, but I don't know. I just seem this is something maybe I don't think God can help me this time. And I'm going, wow. So you only trust in God sometimes then, right? How often should we trust in God? All the time. It shouldn't be just like, okay, sometime I think he will help me through it, but sometimes he won't. If you think like that in life, most cases, you're going to go through life where you're going to experience a lot of problems because you're going to see how you're always going to find excuses. You're always going to find reasons why you can't proceed forward. And, you know, we got to make it a choice. As believers, as Christians, like I said, we always know in our mind, in our hearts, that God will never let us down. He will never fail us. I want you to look at what it says here in Joshua 4, verses 1 to 7. Read it with me. Ready? Go. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must what? Pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, they will what? Remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever." Can you imagine a river stop running? Can God do that? Did they have anything to do with that? Well, they had faith in God, right? But I'm talking physically. Did they have anything to do with the fact that the river stopped? No. They could have built a dam and all this, right? But no, God just said, stop, and it stopped. And then they were able to cross through. I'm going to ask you something. How many stones have you picked up in your Christian life? You know, and it says in the scripture, placed on your shoulder. Okay, I'm not speaking about this literally, okay, that you pick up a stone. But the fact is, right, this was something that they had to do so that they could remember, you know what, God came through when we needed him. And it could be, you know, some answered prayer or some sort of miracle that had taken place after you had sought God's help. You know, you knew God showed up when you needed him. You prayed, you asked him, and God delivered upon his promises. And, you know, I had many of these kinds of stones because these stones help you to remember that God will not fail you. Because a lot of times, right, we don't put these stones on our shoulders, so to speak. We just forget them, right? When trouble comes, oh, I don't know if God gonna help me. Oh, I don't remember God doing anything for me. And I hear it. I mean, even though people have come to me and they can share their life story, it's like one miracle after the other. They just tell me all of the wonderful things God has done. But when trouble comes, you know what? They forget. And suddenly they say, "But God never do anything for me." I said, "Wait a minute. You just told me God did all these wonderful things. What about that?" And sometimes they go, "Well, yeah, I know, but I don't know if he's going to help me this time around." I'm going, wow, you know, God, he will keep on blessing you. He will keep on bringing his goodness in your life. But you got to keep trusting that he will not stop, that he will allow great things to happen if you continue to trust in him. But I remember all these kinds of stones. Like I shared with you in the past, you know, I was in college and I was failing in this class, and everyone told me, you know, "Ben, you know, it seems like you're doing so bad in this class, you might have to drop it. You know, it might come to a point where you're going to have to take it over." And people say, "You know what, your score is just too low and you cannot bounce back." Well, I told my brother about it, Brother Walton. He prayed with me, and guess what? I don't know exactly what happened. I just felt like a new energy within me, just saying, "You can do it. Go for it." I remember God brought these students in my class. It was so weird that they would just come and ask me, "You want to join our study group?" And things like that. And then suddenly, I found myself, you know, studying with them, and I really put my whole heart into it. And I got to tell you, next test, I aced it. Imagine, I was getting scores like 35 out of 100. I even answered all the bonus questions. My next test, I got 107. And, you know, I passed that class. And, you know, I look back in that day and I'm going, wow, that was a stone on my shoulder because I trusted God and God delivered. You know, you can say, well, because of this, because, you know, it so happened the students were there and da, da, da. No, it was not coincidence. It was God. And you know, I got to tell you, you remember last year my mom suffered pneumonia and she had a stroke. All the doctors told me, Ben, no sense. Well, why do you want, almost like that's what I sensed they were telling me. What's the sense of keeping her alive? Well, you know what? My mom lived another year. Another year where I got to hold her and just, you know, kiss her and just tell her how much I loved her. And, you know, I mean, man will tell you whatever they want. Whose report are you going to trust in? God's report or man's report? Because you know what? God says, I will not let you down. You're my precious child. I will show myself to be faithful and true. I want you to look what it says here in Jeremiah 7, 5 through 7. Read it with me. Ready? Go. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in what? Mere humans who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert. They don't grow, right? With no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness and in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who what? Trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. If you make the Lord your hope and confidence, I mean, really, you turn your heart fully to the Lord and say, it's only you, God, that can help me through this. I'm going to tell you, he will not fail you. He won't. Because God, let me tell you something. He's got a reputation to keep too. Because imagine if every time a child of God called on the Father and God never answered. It's just like, you know, things got worse. I mean, why would people want to believe in him? But guess what? We got testimony when God answers. Just like with my mom. I tell people, go, wow. Can you pray for my loved one too? You know, it's just like, even though they're unbelievers, they say, can you tell me more about your God? I mean, that's why God, he won't let you down. Because we got testimonies to tell about the goodness, about the awesomeness of God. You know, there was this man named John Brentz, who was a friend of this Christian theologian. You probably heard of him. His name is Martin Luther. And he was one of the great leaders of the Reformation period. And there was this king, right, this king of Spain, his name was Charles V, and he had much hatred towards this man named John Brentz. And the king had made many attempts to kill him. And so John Brentz, hearing that a troop of Spanish cavalry soldiers was on the way to arrest him, he immediately sought the Lord in prayer. He started to cry out to God because he knew if the soldiers came for him, he would be dead, okay? He'd probably be dead on the spot. So at once, he sought guidance from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told him this. He says, he heard it very clearly. He says, the Holy Spirit told him, take a loaf of bread and go into the upper town where you will find a door open. Go inside, enter, and hide yourself under the roof. Okay, very clear, precise instructions, okay? So he followed the instructions to the T, right? And he found the only open door and hid himself in the loft. So for 14 days, he lay there while the search continued. And so the one loaf of bread would not have been sufficient, okay? Because 14 days, right? But day by day, you know what happened? This is what he said. A hen would just come up to the loft, lay an egg for him, without cackling, without making any noise. Make one egg, boop, and then go. Every single day, he would get an egg, right? And the 15th day, guess what? The hen didn't come. But you know what happened? John Brentz, he said, he listened from outside, you know, the window where he was at. He heard the people in the street say, they're gone at last. And then he came out. I want you to understand, God, he's our Papa God, and he will never stop providing for you. Whatever your need is, God says, I will give it to you. You simply have to ask. And the Bible says the reason why you do not receive is because you do not what? Do not ask. And it's so simple. You know, when you ask, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that God got to hand it to you right there and then. No, because sometimes he wants to see if you are patient, that you really trust in him. When you ask in your mind, in your heart, you got to say, Lord, I know you will come through for me. Amen? And you're going to just expect that it will come because that's what he does. He will provide for you. I want you to read with me what it says in Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find what kind of strength? Okay, let's stop right there. New strength. In other words, it's not strength that comes from your own self. It does not come from other people that can help you. It's a new strength. It is strength from the Lord. It's a strength that you know that God will put forth upon your life because he knows that you love him and trust him that much. It's a new strength, and we all need this new strength. It's the kind of strength the world does not know about. The world who rejects him, the world that doesn't want anything to do with him, they don't have this new strength. But guess what? We do, because we put our hope, faith, and trust in God. And what does it say there? They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run. And guess what? They could be running, you know, super fast. You run for a mile. Guess what? They will not grow weary. They will walk, and they will not be faint. Because guess what? It's not their own strength. It's not their own ability. It is the Holy Spirit power. It's the Holy Spirit's presence upon that person that will bring that person far and wide and above and beyond what you could ever imagine, because this person knows and trusts in Jesus. Amen? I want you to look at point number two now. It says, he guarantees us the unlimited capacity to love beyond our own human ability. And you got to understand, when sky's the limit concerning God's love, that is where, by the way? It's inside of us, right? We will possess a supernatural ability to love. There's a supernatural love inside of us that is nothing, absolutely nothing like the world's. It's the kind of love that stretches beyond what you could ever imagine. It shows great patience. It shows such great compassion. And you know, when a person accepts Christ into his life, he must obey Jesus' command. And what is Jesus' command? Well, look what it says here in John 15, 12 to 14. Read it with me. Ready? Go. My command is this. Love each other as what? I have loved you. Okay, I want you to stop right there. Remember, we are to love each other just like the usual way we love each other, right? No, Jesus says, as I have loved you. Just think about how much Jesus has shown his love to you. Jesus says, I want you to love the brothers and sisters the way I loved you. So it's not that kind of superficial love, just a little bit right at the top, right? No, he wants you to go so deep. It's a love that's willing to sacrifice. It's a love that really shows that you really love the person, okay? And that's what God has called us to do. Okay, let's read on in verse 13. Ready? Go. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. So greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Did Jesus do this? Did he exemplify this? You better believe it. He suffered and he died on a cross for us. Let me ask you, are you willing to suffer and die for your loved ones, for your friends, for your coworkers, or whoever it is? Well, you know what? This is the command of Jesus, because he doesn't want you to keep your love at a superficial level. He wants you to show to the world that your love is really his love. I mean, it's the love that you're willing, you know, you can say, but I don't know if I would sacrifice my life. Well, okay, not your life then. Well, I'm just saying, maybe your time, you know. Are you willing to even lend, let's say, $5 to someone who's really down and out, who really needs the money. Or you're going to say, nah, I cannot lend you anything. You know, this is showing love too. It has to be shown in a way that it doesn't have to be all the way deep, but at least it's beyond the superficial level. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how you show to God that your love really is His. You know? And, you know, when I became a Christian, I remember the more I studied the scriptures, the more I knew that my mind and heart was changing. I suddenly had a love and concern for people that I never had before. Yes, even towards strangers. And for the first time, I remember I was stayed up late and I watched, like, you know, TV programs, and they have these infomercials about giving to the people, you know, the children in third world countries and stuff like that. And I remember I was spending a lot of time in the scriptures and reading about God's love. And at the first time, I had tears coming down my eyes. And I was like, sign me up. I want to help. You know, it's just like, wow, what's happening to me? I'm going to tell you, this is how powerful the Word of God is. It touches the inner core of your heart that you want to help others. It's not just about yourself anymore. You realize God's called you to help those who are in need. And, you know, you guys know Mother Teresa, right? She tells of a time in which there was this young nun in training that was following her in the slums of Calcutta. It's the worst of the worst. I mean, it's beyond. I saw pictures of it on the internet. It's just like, oh, it's terrible, right? And so this young nun was following her around to minister to the needs of the poor and the needy. And there were many, many that were very sickly. Okay, they had like tuberculosis, they had leprosy and all this, okay? So along the way, they happened to meet this woman who had many severe leprous wounds all over her body, okay? And she appeared to be very weak and fragile and near death as she laid on a filthy roadside, okay? And I mean, it looked like she was about to die. And so immediately, Mother Teresa began cleaning her wounds and showed her much love and compassion, as though this lady who she just met was like, almost seemed like she was a longtime close friend or a beloved relative. It seemed like it could be her mother or her sister or whatever, okay? So you could tell Mother Teresa spoke in such a gentle and caring tone as she told her about the love of her Father God, this very love that was for her. And, you know, as Mother Teresa continued to clean and dress her terribly infected wounds, I mean, there were like white pus coming out. It was looking very, very grotesque, you know. And so as she was doing all this, she noticed that the young nun that was with her, she saw it in her face. She had a face of disgust and repulsiveness, like, you know, just looking at all, you can imagine, right? And she just looked like she was so repulsed as she watched on. So eventually, right, this young nun, she had to excuse herself because it was just too much for her to handle. So after Mother Teresa had finished bandaging the lady's wound, she met with the young nun, who appeared to be somewhat distressed and ashamed. You can tell she was like, oh, couldn't even look at Mother Teresa in the eyes, you know. And so Mother Teresa immediately tried to comfort her and assured her that, you know, usually it's the case, right? It is difficult for the person just starting out in this kind of ministry work, but she told her it does get easier. What's her secret? Well, you know what she told her? She tells her that every time she has to clean the wounds of a total stranger or a poor, sickly person, she imagines that she is actually washing the very wounds of her Lord Jesus Christ. The very wounds that were inflicted upon him in his nail-scarred hands and feet as he suffered and hung on the cross because of his great love for her and for everyone on this planet Earth. She imagined, that's Jesus I'm helping. And the more she was able to do that, she felt great joy. She was not repulsed. She knew that she was doing this for Jesus. There was no doubt that this piece of advice truly helped the young nun to get back on her feet and serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Because that's what it is. when we do ministry work, it's not so much about the people that we're serving. No, we're serving Jesus. I mean, we're actually serving Jesus. Whenever you shake a hand, when you give him a hug, you're shaking the hands of Jesus. You're hugging, embracing Jesus. When you give them food, you're giving food to Jesus. Amen? That's what it's all about. If you can really get that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be so passionate about ministry. That's what keeps me going. You know, the fact I'm doing this for Jesus. Actually, I'm doing it for Jesus himself. And, you know, Mother Teresa was often heard saying that she sees Jesus in everyone. She told a reporter, "That's what I do. I see Jesus in every person that I help." And she said, you know, if someone is hungry, she said, "I'm going to feed hungry Jesus." That's how she said it. "I'm going to feed hungry Jesus." Or if a person has wounds from leprosy or some infectious disease, she said, "I must tend the wounds of Jesus right now. Right now." And this is what always motivates her to provide her best help possible for those who are lost and needy. I mean, she won't hesitate. Because the fact she knew, she was actually helping Jesus. I want you to look at this next scripture here. I want you to read it with me. Proverbs 19:17. Read it with me. Ready? Go. "Whoever is kind to the poor," what does it say there? "Lends to the Lord. And what will God do? He will reward them for what they have done." Wow. Not that we expect anything in return, you know, for our acts of kindness, especially if we know the Holy Spirit had put it in our hearts to do it. Not that it's, okay, now you pay me back now. No. But you know what? Guess what? It's a promise from God. God promises a payback for every loan that is made with him. You know, not that we expect it, but God says, no, I will bless you back. Because this is what will make you become more like my son, Jesus Christ. It's when you're willing to extend a hand to help others. It's when you're willing to say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I can to help this person who is in need. That's what God desires from us, because this is the only way you can become more like Jesus. You got to have the heart's desire to help others. I want you to look what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. "Then Christ will make his home where? In your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love." Okay, so it has to have roots to grow down into the very love of God. And what does it say there? "And keep you strong." Okay, I'm going to stop right there, because you know what? If you don't have these strong roots, your love will just remain superficial. Because, you know, people are going to start to complain. "Oh, why you do that? You're not really helping me." Okay, I'm out of here. I ain't going to help you. No, these roots got to grow strong. Where does it grow down into? The love of Christ. It must grow into the love of God, because this is the only way you're going to stick through it. People may complain. People may shake their fist at you. But, you know, you say, "Oh, I'm going to keep on loving you." Why? Because your roots have grown down into the very love of God. Let's continue on here. It says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be," what does it say there? "Made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." I'm going to just tell you, you know, and some people don't like to hear this, but I think there are a lot of Christians that are incomplete. Because they can say, "Yeah, I go to church. I go to Bible study now and then. And, you know, I'm a Christian." But what does it say there? You will be made complete when you show it. Yeah, it's good that you have all the knowledge, that you say, "Yeah, I memorize the scriptures. I know what God wants me to do." But guess what? You never do it. You want to be made complete as a Christian? You must show the love of God. You must exemplify it. You must be willing to help others. That's what the Bible tells you. That's what the Bible tells me. And that's why we got to find opportunities to help others as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen? Because you want to be made complete, don't you? I want to be made complete. I realize if I was just going to tell you, you know, I'm a pastor. I just teach. That's all I do. And I'm going to do nothing else. I'll just teach all day and preach all day. And I'm going to realize the Holy Spirit will say, Ben, you don't get it. This is not what it's about. You're going to exemplify my love. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. Because when we can do that, yes, you will be made complete in the eyes of God. I want you to look at point number 3 now. It says here, he guarantees his unlimited saving power over evil. And you know, no matter how many times the enemy, Satan, right, will try to turn up the heat because, you know, he's mean, he's nasty. I want to just say it. He's terrible, you know what I mean? He just loves to make the children of God suffer. But you know what? We can count on Papa God to come to our rescue every time, no matter what the devil will try to do to bring us down, to try to shake us up and try to almost like get us as far as we can from Papa God. You know, he's going to fail. Because you know why? As children of God, we're going to cry out to him. It's just like any child, right? When they're in distress, what do they do? Mommy, daddy, right? Don't they do that? Well, are we children of God? Yes. Just say, Father God, help. Or just call in his son's name. Jesus, help me. I'm going to tell you, he hears these cries, and he will come to your rescue. And I got to tell you, there are many times in my life where I was just feeling a lot of distress. I felt maybe depression. I called on Jesus' name often. And I got to tell you, every single time I knew his presence just came so powerfully upon me as I just looked to him, as I cried out to him. I want you to read this scripture in Psalm 37:28 with me. Ready? Go. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will what? Perish. All right. Okay. It doesn't say for the Lord loves his children, right, or the believers. No, he loves the just, the one who do what is right and not forsake his what? Faithful ones. Are you faithful to God? Because you can say you are a Christian, you're a believer, but are you faithful to him? In other words, you do what he asks of you. You do what you know what he wants you to do. Because if you do, God, he will always come to your rescue. You know, there was this young American missionary named David Brainerd, and he was called to be a missionary to the Native American Indians, okay? So upon his arrival, he was so disliked by the tribe, the Native American Indian tribes. And they had every intention to kill him. From day one, they said, we're going to kill this white man. You know, this is what they were saying, you know. We have to kill him. So one day, with their tomahawks in their hands, right, they crept slowly towards his tent with a plan to murder him and scalp him alive, just like in the movies, right? And so as they peered under the flap of his tent, right, they saw that the missionary was in the center of the tent, and guess what? He was on bended knee with his eyes closed and his hands were clasped in prayer. He was seeking the Lord, okay? And as he prayed now, okay, remember, all the Indians were kind of looking in, right? As he was praying, his eyes were closed. He didn't know there was this rattlesnake that was slithering right past his feet. And as it did, right, it suddenly paused. And you can see it goes up. Usually when a rattlesnake goes up like that, what are they going to do? They're going to attack, right? They go, pow! You know, they're almost like they're going to attack. They're going to kill the prey. And it paused in position to strike. It was just about ready to strike. And the Indians go, okay, they're going to kill him. All right, good. We don't have to kill him now, right? Probably they were thinking like that. I don't know. But guess what happened? The snake didn't strike. It went like that. And suddenly, his head just started to go down. Just like, it's almost like something just made his head go down, lower his head. And guess what? It just started to slither and glided right out the tent, just like that. And after a long time, you know, after maybe a course of several months, right, David Brainerd, he found out why the Indians at the village, now they were treating him with such great honor. And what happened was, on that day, he kind of knew. He expected that the Indians wanted to kill him. And the reason for their change of heart was because, guess what? All of the people that were there, all the comrades of the Indians, right? They witnessed this miraculous incident with the snake. And guess what? They had a change of heart. And, you know, you think about this, right? You know, you could say the Lord made a double change of hearts happen that day because the devil had every intention, had it all planned out, right, that there would be a double kill. Because guess what? The Indians were going to try to kill him. But guess what? The snake, the cobra, or actually rattlesnake, also had intention to kill him. But, you know, the fact is, God, he sees all, doesn't he? He knows what's going on. He sees the evil that are trying to take place in our lives. But if you look to God, you trust in God, God, he will always, you know, put a stop to that mission, that evil mission that we know is from the devil. Because what happened was the Indians looked upon David Brainerd as a messenger from the Great Spirit. That's what they were saying, which indeed was true. Because the Spirit was the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And we got to understand, the protection of God is indeed upon his children, especially when you are out in the mission field doing his work. I'm going to have to tell you, we see it in the scripture, it's like you got a double strong hedge of protection, more so than even a Christian believer who, you know, says they believe but is not serving in the mission field. Because you know what? God knows the devil, he's very maniacal. He's very evil in all his intents, and he's going to try to bring that faithful Christian down. But you know what? If you trust in the Lord, God, he's keeping a watchful eye on you. I want you to read with me what it says here in Psalm 34, 7 to 9. Ready? Go. The angel of the Lord, what does it say there? Encamps around those who fear him, and what? He delivers them. Let's stop right there. Okay, so God's angels, imagine, they pitch a tent. Right where you are, they're watching you because Papa God says, hey, you got to make sure my child is safe and secure. You know, because he's doing my work. He or she is doing my work. And it's true of every believer, but I believe even more so of the child of God who's just working tirelessly for the kingdom of God. Okay, so encamps around those who fear him, and what else? He delivers them. So it's not just about, okay, God, these angels around you. No, they're there to protect you, and they will deliver you from the hands of the enemy. I mean, he's going to deliver you from your problems, your difficulties, because you've been faithful. Look what it says in verse 8. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. You fear the Lord? It's not to say you're so scared of him that you hide in the closet. No, you have reverence for him. You realize when you don't do things his way, yeah, you know, he just might discipline you. Because as a loving father, that's what he does. So if you fear the Lord in that manner, you're going to see. You're going to always taste and see that the Lord, he is so good. Amen? And that's why we got to know that he promises he will deliver us from evil. He will deliver us from the snatch of the devil. If he's trying to capture us, no. Papa God will not allow that to happen. He will come to your rescue every time. Because that's how much he loves us. You know, there's this veteran missionary to Haiti. Her name is Eleanor Turnbull. And, you know, she collected and translated the prayers of the Haitian Christians who live in the mountains of Haiti. Okay? And so these profound and childlike prayers are recorded in her book. It's called God is No Stranger. And I just want you to listen to four prayers that were written in her book. These are actual prayers that were prayed by the people of Haiti, okay? And it talked about God's grace and protection. Listen to this one. This person, he wrote, he said, Lord, all my life I have been just a weed. I became a flower now. I am young and I want to grow and be cultivated so I can become more beautiful. Wow. It's the fact that because this person found the Lord. This next one, he says, Lord, in Christ, we are a grain of corn in a clear bottle. Satan comes like a chicken and pecks for the corn, but never can reach it. Just think about a Coke bottle with a corn inside. You know, as much as the chicken wants to go for that corn, no can get him. How are you going to get? No can, right? I like that one. You know, I think the same way. The devil going to try hard to get to us, but he cannot. Okay, next one. He says, Lord, how glad we are that we don't hold you. You hold us. Yeah, it's not because we cannot hold God. We're not until maybe we get to heaven, right? But think about that. How glad we are that we don't hold you. You know what? He holds you. And I got to tell you, try this. Next time you feel like you're really down, really depressed, call on the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I'm not making this up. How many times I did that, especially when I was feeling so, you know, so sad for whatever reason. I called on Jesus. I cried out to him. I almost can feel. I felt this. I mean, like his arms. I felt my whole body coming warm. Like his arms just took a hold of me. He let me know, Ben, it's going to be okay. I'm here. I love you. I was talking about this. I'm getting all choked up because that experience was so real to me. It was not something that I imagined. I felt his arms coming around me. And it's true for you and for me. You got to call on his name and realize he will show up every time. And however way he's going to show up, he's going to let you know you are my precious child, whom I love so much. The last one here, the prayer said, Lord, don't let us put our load of trouble in a basket on our head. Help us to put them on Jesus's head. Then we will not have headaches. That's cute, that one. I like that one too. But that's true, right? And I'm sure they learned that scripture, cast all your anxiety upon the Lord. Because why? Because he cares for you. You got to put it upon the Lord. Sometimes I hear Christians say, oh, I don't want to do it. That's kind of mean. Why I got to put my anxiety and worries upon the Lord? No, God says he wants it. Because he's not going to keep it. He's going to get rid of it. And he's going to exchange it with his peace. Amen? That's why he wants you to give it to him. I want you to look what it says there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. But the Lord is what? He's faithful. He will strengthen you, and he will guard you from the evil one. Okay, it says here, he will what? Strengthen you. And you know what? Because a lot of times, right, the devil, he's on the attack. I'm going to tell you, he's always on the attack. Don't ever think, okay, there's going to be a day where the devil's going to go easy on me. No. He's always on the attack. He's looking for someone to devour. He wants you to eat up you. He wants to eat up me. But it says the Lord is faithful. He's going to strengthen you because he's going to make you tough meat. he's going to make you so strong that the devil is going to realize he can take a bite out of you, but going to break his teeth. I'm going to just say it. The devil's going to know, man, this child of God is so strong in his faith. In Papa, in their Papa God. You know, even if I'm going to try to take a bite, the teeth is going to crack, right? The teeth is going to be destroyed because of the fact of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says he will strengthen us and he will guard you from the evil one so that you know that you will always have the protection of the Lord. The Bible says, right, that Our Father God, he neither sleeps or slumbers. Why? Because he's keeping a watchful eye on those who love him. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't go, okay, I'm getting tired. he doesn't doze off. His eye is always upon you and me because we love him. Amen? Because we're faithful to him. And you can count on Papa God to come to your rescue every time you have a problem or you are troubled. Don't hesitate. Call on him and trust that he will answer in a big way. I want you to look at the bottom line verses now. You know, hopefully now that we are at the very end of this sermon, you know, you can truly see that the sky's the limit when it concerns what God desires to offer to us in our lives. Just like my dad, sky's the limit. Go to whatever you like. Oh, go for it, right? Go get the triple, you know, banana split and whatever you want. And, you know, same, Papa God, he says, sky's the limit. And it's actually not just to the sky. We can go even beyond that. Because remember, we're dealing with Papa God here. He wants you to go as far as you can go. I mean, he wants you to know that that's how much he loves us. And you know, the key to recognizing this is, guess what? We go through life, we're going to have problems. We're going to have difficulties. I mean, come on, it's true for everyone. No one's excluded. You know, sometimes, oh, I wish I was excluded. No, no, no. No one's excluded. You know, we're all going to have problems or difficulties sometime in our lives. But the key thing is, if in order to really understand about how God wants to you know, go above and beyond, right, that the sky's the limit, guess what? We got to keep looking where? Up. Because so often, right, we start looking down, we start to complain, we start to grumble, and guess what? Sooner than we know, we start losing our faith in God. And no matter how, you know, life situations can bring you down, the key is the fact that you keep looking up. Amen? That remember, the sky, it's not on the ground. Because when you are down, you tend to look down, and you start, right? And you're not going to realize, hey, wait a minute. Papa God said the sky is the limit, and that he has a above and beyond whatever I could imagine as his provision, as what I need. I want you to look at these scriptures and just really experience what these men of God had to say about looking up. Okay, I want you to read the first one in Isaiah 40, 26. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. You know, there are like what, millions or billions of stars, okay? A lot. And he named them all. That's kind of like hard to fathom, hard to imagine. But and guess what? Not a single one is missing because he knows about every single one, just like he knows all of us here on this planet Earth, right? And because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. But the key is, we got to keep looking where? Up into the heavens. And that's what it is. You know, we look in the heaven, we look up in the sky, we realize, yeah, God is above and beyond what I could ever imagine. And when you look into the night sky, you realize all those stars, you know what? God created all of those. And you know, God, he cares for every one of those as much as he cares for me. I want you to look at this next scripture, Psalm 121, 1-2. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I lift up my eyes to where? The mountains. Again, not to the floor, right? To the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from who? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that's where you realize your help is actually coming from God. He's really going to make things happen. As soon as you call on him, you have to believe in your mind, yeah, God already dispatches angels. God is already doing something. Because we cannot see it. But you, in your mind, because of your faith in him, you got to believe that, yeah, God is already doing something. As soon as you, you know, said that prayer out to him, you know that God is already doing something. I want you to look at Luke 21, 27 to 28. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with great power and great glory. And so when all these things begin to happen, stand and what? Look up, for your salvation is near. And it talks about the very fact we know Jesus, he's coming. He's coming. That's our hope, that Jesus, he's coming back for his church, his beloved church. And who is his beloved church? We are. But meanwhile, you know, Jesus hasn't come back yet for us, right? Because if he did, we wouldn't be here right now. We'd be in the Father's house, right? But he's telling you, he's telling me, for the time being, you got to stand and look up. Amen? Look up, for guess what? Your salvation is near. Jesus is upon the horizon. He's coming. He's coming. And he's going to take us home to a place where you're going to be free of pain, disease. You're going to be free of hardship. You're going to experience more than just a good life, I'm going to tell you. You know, you're going to experience perfection. You're going to experience perfect peace, perfect love, perfect joy that will always be coming from our Father God. Amen? I want to close by showing you this video that kind of pretty much summarizes all that we talked about today. And the very fact is, we believe that nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Bessie, could you go and play that video, please?
Stop blaming your irritating spouse. Just look right straight at me right now. Stop blaming your obnoxious boss. Stop blaming your anger and your angry and resentful attitude on other people. Your attitude is what you choose for it to be. Your thoughts are what you choose for them to be. You can let a thought park in your brain until it makes you mad as a hornet. You can be sitting down at perfect peace and something goes through your mind that irritates the thunder out of you. And in 5 minutes, you're as mad as a hornet. That's because you choose to let that happen. You are the decision maker for your life. One decision at a time, you have become the architect of your life. Do not allow the past to control your future. Do not allow the foolish opinions of other people to intimidate you. Do not allow the fear of the unknown to be your slave master. If God be for you, who can be against you? You don't know the future, but God does. You can't move mountains, but God can. The answer you're looking for is God is bringing it to you right now. People say, well, Pastor, I've prayed about this and nothing has happened. Listen to me. God's delays are not God's denials. In the Bible, God took years to answer the prayers of Elijah, of Abraham, and they were very spiritual people. Nothing is impossible to those that believe and are called according to the purposes of God. Impossible is not a fact, it's an opinion. Impossible is always temporary. Everything is impossible until somebody does it. Nothing is impossible with God. Your life is not meant to be an apology. It's meant to be a divine statement of what God can do with a human being who will let God be everything God wants to be in you. God's limitation is us. It's not him. You will hear people all of your life say, well, this can't be done. That's absolutely wrong. As soon as one man or a group of people put their hearts and minds together and they're pursuing the purposes of God, they can walk through water at the Red Sea. They can walk through fire like the three Hebrew children, and they will not be touched by that fire. They can take a boy's sack lunch and feed a congregation of people, because nothing is impossible to those that believe and are called according to the purposes of God.
And we know, that's why we say the sky is the limit, because you know what? Actually, when it concerns God, yeah, you can go even beyond the sky, right? And you got to realize nothing is impossible with God. You must trust in Him. And you, I don't know what your situation may be right now. You may say, Pastor Ben, I'm going through a really tough time right now. I'm going through something that is a huge struggle. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, God knows about it. And He loves you. And you must continue to hold on to His word. You must continue to hold on to His promises, because, yes, God, He will deliver you. That's His promise. This is what it says in the scripture. He will deliver you from your problems. He will deliver you from your life situations when you can just trust in Him and believe in Him with your whole heart. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm going to let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father God, I pray that all my brothers and sisters will truly see, as they have just read the scriptures, that nothing is impossible with you. And I pray right now, if there are some of my brothers and sisters that are experiencing some difficulty in life, I sense that I'm not sure who it is, but I just sense it, Father, that if there are brother or sister that is facing a tough situation right now, I pray, Lord, that you will give this person a supernatural power and peace, Father, that they will know, Lord, they're going through the storm right now, but Father, I know, Lord, you're going to see them through it, and at the very end, they're going to experience the power of God like they've never experienced before, and at the very end, they're going to experience your love. As they fall right into the arms of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because they are running the race. Yes, they are. But, Father, we know at the very end is Jesus cheering for us, encouraging us to keep going strong for Him. I pray all of us will continue on this race to the very end. As we know, Lord, you're calling our names. You're encouraging us to finish strong. And that is our heart's desire, to give our very best unto you. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, right now you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, that is me. I truly know now, as I've read the scriptures, that God is for me. He's not against me, as the devil has tried to deceive me into believing. Father, will you help me to finish this race so strong? Because, Lord, I want to raise my hands in victory, knowing that you helped me through it all in this life, that I know as I look to you, I look to Jesus, Lord, you will never, ever fail me. And this is your heart's cry. You're saying, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, because I want to give my very best unto you. If this is the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, is the hearts behind those hands. I pray, Father, as they cry out to you, they will experience the fullness of your sweet and loving presence. And they will know, they will get the strength they need. They will get the power they need to see victory after victory after victory after victory in their lives. Father, bring it, Lord, because we want to hear the testimonies. We want to hear of the goodness that you bring forth in your children's lives. Father, we love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And all my brothers and sisters say, amen. Let's